Finish. That sounds strange. Psalm 8. Let's read the psalm and we get into it tonight about the majesty of God. Praising God, praising His majesty in so many areas. It says to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. We just want to praise you for your majestic name, your holy name, your glorious name. Father, we thank you for the name of Jehovah. We thank you for the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your glorious name. And tonight, I pray that you would open up our hearts. Father, help us to praise you. Help us to worship you because we see your majesty in creation. We understand your majestic name, and we worship you for your glorious, holy character. So, Father, help us now as we get into this psalm. Lord, help us set aside the things of this life, the cares, the anxieties, the burdens, and help us, Lord, to fix our attention upon you and your holy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the first nature psalm speaking of God's creation. God has revealed himself through his creation. The New Testament says in Romans chapter number 1, Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. So, what we need to know about the power of God is revealed in creation. This psalm will speak of his marvelous creation. And so, what is the goal here? His marvelous works should stir our spirits to seek him, to exalt him for his wisdom and his power, to praise him. So what did David do? He instructed the director of music in the congregation to accompany this praise hymn with the gittith. The gittith, a harp-like string instrument from the region of Gath. As David sang praises of the maker of the heavens, he was being led to express certain higher elements of truth. Remember, they were filled with the Spirit. They were led by the Spirit to speak the inspired word of God. And so there were things that we learn in this psalm that David, it's beyond him, amen? It's the revelation of God. When we stare into the stars today, we observe God's handiwork with far more information than David possessed. We have a lot of telescopes. We have a lot of technology today to bring all of that close to the human eye. Amen. And we are blessed to live in the time that Daniel prophesied of. Go to Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Amen. We have a lot of knowledge, human knowledge of the mysteries of God's creation, and that is increased in our time. I think the discoveries of modern science are not necessary to realize two great truths that boggle David's mind. Number one, the majestic glory of God who sculpted the skies. Amen. And then the unfathomable fact that he would care for us. Amen. He would care so much for man. And I hope you see this tonight. The majesty of God and really the minuteness of man and how God even thinks on us is amazing. So let's look at that in verses 1 and 2. Praise, number 1, praise his majestic name. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How many do not praise his name in letter A? Many do not praise his name. Do you know that there's over 1 billion Muslims who praise the name of Allah? They place the name of Allah on their hearts. 250 million of Buddhists bow down to the graven image of Buddha. 1 billion Hindus grovel at the feet of countless idols. Millions of communists and atheists deny there is any God at all. But those of us who have come to know him, his name is above all names. Amen. Letter B, millions own that name. I hope you own that name, that excellent name of Jehovah. In the Old Testament times, that name was Jehovah. But in the New Testament times, that name is Jesus. Amen. So I ask you tonight, why is his name so excellent? Letter C, God's glorious name is revealed in all the earth. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Do you know that trying to comment on verse 1 is like trying to comment on the splendor of the Grand Canyon? Words can't do it justice. You just need to get out of the way and let people see it. Amen. David began this psalm by magnifying the exalted name of the Lord. You see, names represent character. And God has revealed himself through his names. But his name is excellent, meaning it's wide, it's large, it's majestic. Amen. His name is majestic. But I want you to see that the Lord is our Lord. He's a personal God. Aren't you thankful today that you can say he's my Lord? He's my God. And so there's only one God, and not everyone can call him our Lord. our God. I think of, you know, a lot of people probably look at God as some tribal God who belonged only to Israel. But God didn't want his name just to be confined to Israel. That's what he says here. He says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God wants his name. He wants his character. He wants his reputation to be made known in all the earth. And I think we do know how that happens. It's God's, as his creator, his revelation through creation extends to every part of the earth. Every person can look up and see the creation of God. And truly, remember, as we looked in the New Testament, Romans 2, it talks about God has put a conscience in man. God has put this knowledge in man that there is a God, there is a creator. He's put that inner witness. But sadly, people harden their heart. They sear their consciences. They don't worship God as creator. Remember Romans 1, they worship the creature, not the creator. But there is an inner witness, and that witness of God's creation is everywhere. But it says in verse 1, he set his glory above the heavens. Above the heavens. Do you know that God's greatness cannot be contained in creation? It's bigger than creation. Amen. The heavens and earth can only partially express his excellency and glory. The creator remains far greater than his creation. Amen. Then we move on to verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. God's glorious strength, letter D, is seen in babes and sucklings. Babes and sucklings. Isn't this amazing that God has chosen his praise? He has entrusted his praise to infants and children. And he's so great, he can do that and not be robbed of his glory. And really, he's responding to the enemies here. That's what he says. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When God seeks to silence the enemies, he doesn't always turn to the highly educated or to the deep thinking theologians. I think of the cry of baby Moses ultimately brought Egypt to her knees. The birth of the baby Samuel was used to save Israel and anoint King David. David, as a youth, defeated the giant Goliath. Amen. The birth of Jesus brought salvation to the entire world. Amen. So God chooses babes or young children and sucklings not yet weaned because they do not reject his revelation that he has placed in their hearts. Let's go to the New Testament there, Matthew 21. If you look at verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. See, this is towards the end of the Lord's life. Then later on, verse 17, he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. And remember, he cursed the fig tree. And then in verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, and I'm skipping my passage, sorry. Go back up to verse 15. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased and said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? This is amazing. This comes right out of Psalm 8. And it is applied to the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hosanna to the Son of David. I think of, when you think of creation itself, one of the most efficient arguments for divine creation is the miraculous process of conception, development, and childbirth. Amen. How can anyone witness the miracle of reproduction and deny the mighty and glorious hand of God? Amen. So praise him for his majestic name. But also, number two, praise him for his majestic creation. Creation. Now, we've been in some places where you could see the stars like no other place. Several places we've been was in southern Chile. And in southern Africa. It's an amazing sight. Now you as a kid, probably I did, would run out and lay in the middle of a field and just lay there and look up at the stars. So I want you to see, this is David saying, when I consider thy heavens. That's what David's doing. The work of thy fingers, amen. The moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? So letter A, consider the majestic heavens. Verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, amen. As David gazed up into the heavens, he realized how great God is. I hope you do the same. David says, consider the moon and the stars. He says the entire universe is the work of the fingers of God. And really, how miniature is this vast universe in the presence of the Creator? God ordained it, it says. Ordained it. That means he set everything in its place. Aren't you thankful that there are certain laws of nature, like gravity, amen? There are certain laws of nature that are ordained of God. Listen, there are trillions of stars set in their places. The planets are set in their orbits. Like an engineer fitting together the pieces of a complicated machine, our Creator meticulously created the laws that contribute to the function of the universe. Think of the vast universe. Everything is set in its place by God. But ordained also means to form or fashion. Like a potter forming his clay, the Lord shaped and molded the planets, the stars, and the meteors. Imagine every crater and every canyon as the impression of the finger of God. He shaped it. He molded it. I have an illustration here a little bit. David considers the splendor of above the heavens. Of course, he had no telescope to show him how big the universe is. What would he have thought if he knew what we know? The sheer vastness of outer space and the coordination of it is astounding. If you could travel at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second, it would take you 8 minutes to get to the sun. That's pretty fast, though. 186,000 miles per second. To go from the sun to the center of the Milky Way, traveling at that speed, it would take you 33,000 years. And the Milky Way belongs to a group of some 20 galaxies known as the Local Group. To cross that group, you'd have to travel for 2 million years. The Local Group belongs to the Virgo Cluster, part of an even larger local supercluster, which is a 500 million light years across. To cross the entire universe as we know it would take you 20 billion light years. And he's above it all. Amen. Now let her be. Consider the majestic heavens. Let her be. Consider the majestic humans. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Man. You see, the word man, we know, speaks of dust, of dirt. It speaks of weakness. David saw the greatness and the power of God in creation, and now asks, what is man? But God is mindful of man, even though man is mortal. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Amen. And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. God comes to visit man. I mean, listen, folks. He's above this glorious universe. And he comes. He comes to visit us, amen, to help us, to care for us. Think about that visit that God made to Adam in the garden, amen. You can go back there and read about it, the fellowship they had in the Garden of Eden. As David considered the universe, he rejoiced to think that God would even care for man. Compared to God's creation, we are smaller than a single grain of sand. That's what we are. Yet he loves us, and he sent his Son to die for us. Amen. He takes very good care of us, and he watches over us. In Matthew, go to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Amen. Some of us, it takes God a split second to number them. Amen. I want you to think about man. You see, we're going to get into this the next time. The fact is this, folks, we are made in the image of God. But I just want you to think about your makeup for a second here. The human brain has 10 billion nerve cells interacting in coordination to allow us to function as we do. How can that work apart from creation? Evolution didn't do that. Your eyes have about 100 million receptor cells in each retina, which also contains 4 other layers of nerve cells. The system makes billions of calculations per second, traveling through your optic nerve to the brain, which has more than a dozen separate vision centers to process it. Your skin has more than 2 million tiny sweat glands, about 3,000 per square inch, to regulate your temperature. Amen. We need about 4 million down here in Texas. Amen. We need double that, Lord. Help us. Your heart beats an average of 75 times per minute, 40 million times per year, 2.5 billion times in 70 years. Brother, you missed a couple beats, so yours is, less than a half a billion. It pumps about 3,000 gallons of blood per day. That's amazing. Your body is supported by more than 200 finely designed bones, connected to more than 500 muscles and many tendons and ligaments. Some muscles respond to your conscious will, whereas some react automatically. Amen. Thank God for that. Your digestive system contains 35 million glands that secretes juices to digest your food and sustain your life. I haven't mentioned your lungs, your other senses, hearing, taste, smell, and touch, your endocrine glands, your immune system, and much more. But listen, it all works together because we are the majestic creation of God. What is man? We'll get into that because it says later he's crowned us with honor and glory. Praise God. See, we're here to praise him. Praise him for his name. Praise him for his power, his creation. Praise him for what you see in this universe. Praise him for your life, for your makeup, for you that God created you. You are a miracle of God. Isn't that amazing? We're all a walking miracle of God. Don't let anyone tell you different. Amen. Let's pray.